Welcome to the Unseen Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Jen Morse, holistic business coach, spiritual mentor, modern mystic, and artist. In this podcast, we explore all things mysticism, creativity, spirituality, and entrepreneurship, bridging the spiritual and the practical. So excited to have you here, and I'll see you in the show. Hi, guys. Welcome. I'm so excited to have this ray of light, Maria Henning, on the show today. She's got so much amazing manifesting generator energy and just so much beautiful heart and amazing, amazing, prolific, really artist and creator. And she is here today. She's a gene key and human design expert, teacher, and coach, a 2-5 emotional manifesting generator. And she's the creator of the Cosmic Compendium, one-of-a-kind software designed for human design and gene keys professionals. And you're originally from Caracas, Venezuela, and born and raised in Houston. So welcome, Maria. And yeah, I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you so much. That was such a beautiful intro. I really appreciate that reflection. And yeah, I'm excited to be here. We have so many good things to share. I'm like brimming with, things to talk about. So
yes,
having me.
Yes. So I always like to start off and just like dig in. If you want to tell us a little bit about, you know, what it is you do, because some people will have no idea, you know, what even human design and gene keys, or they might know one, but not the other. Maybe they're just getting into it. So like telling us a little bit about how that realm, but also how you got into it and your journey.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. So lots of things to say. Mm-hmm. What I do specifically is, will be understood more if you understand human design, but I'll kind of say it really quickly. But essentially, I just share human design and gene keys. I'm a human design and gene keys, I would say, teacher, coach a little bit. I'm more of a strategist, I would say, and I'm also leading into the business strategist role. So distinction there being, I love to strategize. I love to give solutions. Not so much of a coach of like, let me hold space for you and let me guide you. I'm more of like, let me teach you. So I love to teach. I love to strategize. And human design and gene keys, for those of you that are listening and you're wondering what those things are, they are, human design, I would say, is akin to the typology system that is a blend, I would say, between astrology and Myers-Briggs is like the easiest way to describe it, because there's a very scientific structured element to it, which is kind of like that Myers-Briggs personality aspect. And then there's this astrology, like spiritual side of it. But if you want to know what it's actually described as, it's essentially called the science of differentiation. And what you receive when you're looking at your human design is a chart similar to astrology, but it's a chart of your body and how your body works. So human design is a system that shows you how your energetic blueprint works. Like how does your energy function? And gene keys, which is a related system, is more about the journey. What is the journey that you're on? What are the stumbling blocks you're going to run into? So as you can imagine, those are great systems to work together, because you have human design, which is like you're the vehicle and like how you work. And then gene keys is more the journey that you're on. And so you have the map and you have the vehicle. So it's great. That's what I do. So I basically, I put myself under the title like human design and gene keys expert, because I just create from that. I create courses, I create my app, the Cosmic Compendium. I create coaching containers or, you know, group containers and things like that. So there's not like one way that I can pin it down, which is what it means to be a mani gen. I do a million different things. I redefine what's possible by blending all these seemingly, you know, unrelated interests together. But then I have this like business strategist focus on it as well in some of the things that I do. So yeah, it's a little bit about what I do. And then you asked how I got into it. So I can just share that really briefly. But I have always been interested in like personal development and spirituality and like personal growth. And I spent about 10 years really focused on like the conscious and the scientific side of personal development. So a lot of like really cerebral conversations, a lot of really great, you know, research-backed, whatever. I have a STEM degree, so I was a scientist and an atheist for a lot of my life because I was like, yeah, this is the answer, science. So I had a lot of that side of it, but I was always interested in like personal growth. And after about 10 years of only working in the conscious realm, I was like, let's look at the subconscious. And then I got back into like manifestation and I discovered Lacey Phillips. And Lacey Phillips used, I don't think she still really leans into human design as much, but she used to use human design a lot, and specifically worked with Jenna Zoe a lot, which is one of like the known kind of, you know, human design teachers out there. And that's how I actually discovered and pulled my human design chart for the first time. And it took me a couple of months of looking at it and being like, what the heck is this? Because if you pull your human design chart, it's very complicated to really realize the magic that was in it. And the reason that I actually decided to learn human design, like actually get certified in it, is because I wanted it to improve my coaching that I was doing at the time, which was coaching on intuition and self-trust. And I was like, well, if I don't teach people how their body works, which is human design, and like how their energy works, and there's something that we have called authority, which is how we make decisions that are aligned with our soul. It's like, well, if I don't teach people about their authority, how can I teach them to trust themselves? And so that's actually why I started to, that's why I got certified in human design and Gene Keys coaching, discovered Gene Keys in that certification. And then I was like, wait, I kind of just want to do human design. I don't really want to do coaching. I just want to teach this. I just want to share. And I have so many innovative product ideas for, you know, this community. Like I can use my STEM background and my product management software background to like really kind of elevate what we're doing in the human design and Gene Keys space. And so that's how I got into it. And that's what I do now. So a few years later, here I am.
Yeah, amazing. And did you, I mean, I really resonated when, and I think a lot of people, when they first pull up their chart right. And they're like, what is this? You know, like there's a lot of people that will pull up their chart first and just literally throw it away. Cause they're like, I have no idea what any of this means. Yeah.
Totally. Me too. That's what I did also. I was like, whoa, what the heck is this? The only reason that I ever pulled it up was because in Lacey Phillips' course, you would look up your human design and look at one of the variables to see if you were a specific manifester or a non-specific manifester, which like is not a traditional human design thing by any means. Like that is a Jenna Zoe created thing. There's a big kind of like rift in the human design community about like what is traditional like source information, and manifestation style is not source information, but it's still really wonderful and helpful. I love to blend the two, but I love to be clear about what is source versus what is modern interpretations. And again, both are fantastic. But yeah, so that was the only reason I ever pulled my chart, and I discarded the rest of it. I was like, well, I have no idea what the rest of all these colors and shapes, what the heck is this? All these numbers, like it was very confusing. Now, you know, I can sight read a chart and be like, okay, I understand like what's happening, but it's a skill to master for sure.
Yeah. How, I'm curious too, like after you first read your chart, right? Or like first, not read it, but started to understand it and uncover, what were some of the first things that really like helped you or resonated with you and were like, oh, this is something really useful?
Yeah. I mean, so much stuff, honestly. But, you know, the way that I first started to understand my chart was just starting with the basics and listening to free like stuff about it. So I knew my type because you like see what your type is. And so my type is manifesting generator. And that was the first thing that really made a really big difference for me, was understanding what is a manifesting generator. And it was from, again, more Jenna Zoe. It was like Jenna Zoe podcasts talking about what the types are. And so every time she would say something about Mandy Jens, I was like listening intently, like, what is this? And yeah, I mean, it was a big, like one of the reasons that I finally was able to like go full time in my business, knowing that that was actually the only thing that ever would ever make sense for me, was because I realized that I was a Mandy Jen. Like from before, I was like, well, maybe I can like try to work for someone else. Maybe I can try to like do this. Like, it never felt right, but I was like, well, you know, I can like try to make it work. Everyone else can make it work. Everyone else can work somewhere for like 20 years. Like I can do it too. Whatever. No, like that's not true. So I found out I was a manifesting generator, which means, if you're listening, somebody who's very multi, you know, faceted, multi-talented, multi-passionate, like there's just so many, we're doing a lot of different things at the same time. Like a big keynote of manifesting generators is like multitasking. As you can hear me now, I speak super fast. I like jump from like one thing to the other. We're just very energetic, but very kind of like Renaissance people is like the way that I describe Mandy Jens. It's like, we're scientists, we're artists. Like we do all the things, you know, all at the same time. And yeah, I mean, it was so useful to learn that about myself and have that validated finally, because I was like, is it weird that I have a degree in marine science and like published papers on like literally biogeochemistry, and I'm a dancer, and like for 10, like, no, not even 10, sorry, 18 years. And I sang in the opera as a kid. Like, how does this like science art person, like, how do I make sense of that? Like, am I just a fluke? Am I pretending that I can do all these things? And it was like, no, I'm a Manny Gen. Like, I have all these different interests, and like, that's actually correct for me. So yeah, that was one of the main things that I found super just valuable right out of the gate. It was like the most basic thing, which is your type.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a couple other keynotes. Once I started getting readings, which is, by the way, if you're listening, that's how I recommend that you actually learn your human design type. Once you're, if you're really interested and you are done with the free stuff, get a reading, get a professional reader to actually synthesize this information for you. It'll make much more of a difference than just, you know, reading a bunch of free Instagram posts or whatever. Learning about my gates was the next kind of like big, you know, thing for me. And I got a gates reading, and it was like really, really life-changing. Because the gates are these very specific measurements of energy that you have. They're very, it's like your, you know, sun is in this gate, if we're thinking astrologically, and this is what that means for you. So they're very specific. And I was like, wow, that makes so much sense. Like all these things that I felt, you know, like my drive to grow. Oh, it's because I have the gate of aspiration like 5 times in my chart, and it's my 70% of my energy because it's my sun gate. And it's like a very, it's my life's work in the gene keys. But then I had all this sense of intuition, and like, why do I feel like I have psychic energy? And it's because I have like the gate of intuitive insight and my unconscious sun and like the gate of insight and like all this like, you know, intuitive energy everywhere, you know? And so I was like, wow, okay, like this really validates what I do and like why I feel this way. And so, yeah, I mean, I would say that the gates was like the next kind of like life-changing thing, and I've never given them up. I'm still obsessed with the gates, which are gene keys. Gates and gene keys are just two different systems that look at the same thing. So yeah, those are my two most important kind of things that I got from my human design so far.
Yeah.
There's a lot more I can say, but for now.
Oh, I know. I'm way, way into it. But yeah, I feel like that's an interesting point. Like you bring up about the validation, like just realizing, and you know, like I have felt that way. I know lots of people in my community have felt that way, is like once they discovered like astrology or human design or gene keys or all of them, you know, it's like, holy shit, like this makes so much sense. I am unique in this particular way.
Right.
And it just feels so liberating.
Yes. You know?
Like it's just like, oh, I can just do what I really am wanted to do anyways and not feel bad about it.
Yes. 100%. I would say that's a really big thing that human design like specifically even harps on, is like what, when you discover your human design, like you then go through the process of deconditioning. It's like you already were perfect. You were designed perfectly. Here's your design. Here's your blueprint. Go learn about it. And now start unlearning all the things that told you to be a different way. It's like this, no, this is who you actually are. You know, it's a science of differentiation where you do this deconditioning thing, and it's just so validating. And the thing that I always say too about human design and gene keys is that not only does it validate like the thing that you already experienced, which is just such a big permission slip, you know, it just is so, like you said, liberating, but it also then gives you a handle on it. So like it describes it with a word and you're like, oh, ambition, gate of ambition. Okay. That makes sense. That's like, I can categorize this big area of my life into the gate of ambition. Like, okay, I like that. So it gives me a handle to really understand myself. And then it gives you like a tool to actually like, what's next? Like how to improve it. Like it tells you how to use it. You know what I mean? How to leverage it the best. It's not just, here's some validation. What do I do with that? Okay. I feel great, but like whatever. It's like, here's some validation. Here's a description, a lot of in-depth description as to who you are and why you are the way that you are. And then here's how to use it. Like let's apply it. It's a very applicable system, which is like my only interest, which is funny because if you look at my gene keys, that's like what my gene keys are. It's like my vocation is I'd like to apply stuff and strategize, you know? And so, but that's why I love these systems so much. They're so applicable.
Yes. Yeah, totally. And I'm wondering too, I feel like this system, and I know, I wonder if you see a trend with this at all, but like manifesting. I feel like a lot of manifesting generators and projectors really love this system because like they're outliers in a general sense.
Mm-hmm.
At least this is what I've kind of noticed is like, you know, like these are the energies that like want, like tried to fit into places and like just keep bouncing out.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
That's so interesting. Yeah, possibly. I do see a lot of projectors at like the top of the human design game specifically. Like I made a whole list about like just like the top human design accounts and like just the smartest people. And like a lot of them were projectors. I was like, wow, that's so interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing is, you know, projectors are like these system magicians and human design is a system. And so it makes sense that they're like just, you know, such geniuses at this. But yeah, I would say that everyone is an outlier because we've all been conditioned to be different than what we are. So like, you know, many gens have been conditioned to try to be, you know, less multifaceted and like more like, you know, a suppressed version of a generator, you know what I mean? Cause even generators aren't supposed to just be doing like one thing at a time. Right. Cause, and then generators have been conditioned to like, why don't you have multiple interests and like whatever. And then manifestors, which is what everybody wants to be like, oh, I want to initiate. I want to be able to initiate and take action. Manifestors are like put down for initiating. They're like, no, you need to like take orders more. And like manifestors aren't here to take orders. You know, projectors get a lot of conditioning into like overworking themselves because they're these non-sacral types. And so they're like, you know, have this experience. And then reflectors, which are like 1% of the population, just like have no resources to support them. You know, like just nobody even can fathom what a reflector is without understanding like human design. And so, yeah, I mean, I do see a ton of projectors in the human design space, but everybody has been conditioned to like not to be exactly what they're not. And that's why the people that love human design are like, oh my God, yeah, like this is what I actually am. I've been conditioned to be not this, not self. Yeah. And I can go back to, you know, just being myself.
Yeah, totally. Actually, that probably would be a great, would you like to explain the five types to
us? Yeah, sure.
Just briefly, just in case anyone doesn't know the types.
For sure. Okay. So the generator type is defined by having a sacral center that is defined. So a consistent source of sacral energy. And these are types that are, you know, here, it's about 70% of us are generators. So we have these defined sacral centers and we're here to respond to life. And when we find the right things to respond to, when we say yes, because they give us energy, we go and we flow through life and we're here to build and create and kind of like infuse magic into the things that we do. We're very like bubbly types. Generators, we hear, we're the types that we hear all the time. Like, I love your energy. Like that's like a very generator thing mm-hmm. to hear. And another like generator thing to hear a lot is like, do what you love, never work a day in your life. Because the distinction of a generator is that because we have our sacral center defined, when we work on something that we love, it gives us energy back. And so that's why you can only, when you want to protect your energy as a generator, only do things that really light you up. And if you're frustrated and you're drained, what are you doing that you hate? That is the question for a generator. Mm-hmm. So I say we because I'm also a generator, because manifesting generators are actually a subtype of generator. So I'll first talk about a manifester and then we'll talk about the blended type. So generators is the first type. Then we have manifestors, just specifically manifestors. And what makes them manifestors is they have a motor center connected to their throat center. So we have, and I know that you guys don't know what centers are, but maybe later if you look at this, look this up, it'll make sense. But I'll explain what it is as I talk about it. So there are four motor centers in the human design system. Out of nine, we have nine centers total. One of the centers is your throat. And then we have four other motor centers. The sacral center is what makes you a generator. So you can't have your sacral center connected to your throat if you're a manifester, because you wouldn't have a sacral defined. Instead, you have any of the other three motor centers connected to your throat, either directly or indirectly. And so if you think about that, if you have a motor powering the center of manifestation, which is your throat, that means you have consistent motor power to speak and create new things, which is why manifestors are manifestors. They are out here with motor energy powering their ability to get their creative urges, their ideas out of their throat and inform the rest of us about what we're doing. What are we here to do? And so for them, they're here to inform and then initiate new things into the world. They're the only types that are here to initiate. The rest of us are waiting, right? Generators are waiting to respond. And manifestors are only about 9% of the population. So they're pretty rare. So yeah, manifestors here to inform, here to initiate urges that they don't know where they come from. And by informing people what you're doing, doesn't mean asking for permission, but just informing, telling people what you're up to, telling the universe what you're up to, you create a more peaceful way, which is your signature, which is your highest vibration, to essentially get your idea out to the world. You're not here to complete, you're just here to initiate. So Mani Gens are a subset of a subtype of generators, because we have a sacral define. So we have this energy when we work on something, and it gives us energy, like, or we love it, it gives us more energy, which is that generator thing. But then we also have a motor to our throat. So we have this consistent energy to speak and start new things. And so that's why we're these kind of like multi-passionate, multi-hyphenate people, because we're responding. But in the responding, we're initiating new things. And then we're going off and we're doing this different thing, and we're going off and doing that different thing. And so we're these very multi-passionate, multi-hyphenate people. And we're here, yeah, to respond. We're generators first, so you get to respond, but then after you respond, just inform about what you're going to do. And that's a big thing that Mani Gens, because we work so quickly, we kind of tend to forget to tell people what we're doing.
Right.
So that's the manifesting generator type. And then we have two other types. We have the projector type. So they neither have a sacral defined, nor do they have a motor connected to their throat, but they do have some sort of definition somewhere. So like two other centers have to be connected in some other capacity. And they are the systems magicians, like I was saying. So these are types that are really here to be these kind of master guides. They have a bird's eye view of things. They have a completely different perspective to the rest of us. They're here to kind of guide the rest of us. I mean, initiators or manifestors are here to initiate us. Projectors are here to guide the rest of us. And for them, because they're so good at guiding and because they see so deeply, they need an invitation to see, to do their work. And so you need to wait to be recognized, wait to be invited for big things like, you know, offering advice or like stepping into a collaboration. Like, don't try to initiate that. Wait to be recognized first, whether that is somebody recognizing you by saying, hey, I think that this person would be great for the team, or literally inviting you like, hey, do you want to be a part of this? For smaller actions, you don't need to wait for an invitation. You do not need to wait for an invitation to have dinner. So that's a big distinction people experience. So like, do I need to wait for an invitation for everything? No, we're just talking about the big things here. Yeah, those are projectors. And then reflectors, and projectors are about 25% of the population, something like that, 27. And then reflectors are less than 1% of the population, and they have no centers defined. So they are just these totally open mirrors, which is why they're called reflectors, because they reflect anything that's undefined in our chart, amplifies and reflects. So it reflects in it and it amplifies that energy. And so they are like the super intuitive, you know, like these like lunar beings. They kind of work on a lunar cycle. They waiting 28 days is their strategy. And yeah, they're meant to be the center of their community. They are here to essentially sample with their openness, and sample the community and sample the collective and see how we're doing. And they're kind of these judges, because they're these mirrors. They reflect back to us how we're doing. So if they're picking up and amplifying back to you shitty energy, it's because of you. You're the one creating the shitty energy. If your reflector friend isn't doing well, it's probably you. And they get to take care of their energetic hygiene as well, and be take responsibility for that. But reflectors are really here to essentially be these kind of like master judges, essentially of the collective. They're very intuitive. And yeah, they're just kind of these magical, whimsical beings that have lots of wisdom. We need to tap into them a lot more and take care of them a lot more. So those are the five types.
Amazing. Thank you. I feel like I have a very specific, it's something that I've been thinking about. This is a very selfish question because I'm a manifesting generator. So I am curious about this dynamic of like the multi-hyphenate, multitasking. I feel like, you know, in any kind of, in any modality, in any science like these, like, you can use things to empower you, or you can use them as an excuse.
Yeah, right? Totally.
So like for me, I've been noticing like, okay, like a lot of times I can use the manifesting generator. Like I like to do everything as an excuse not to finish things.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something else like going on, like another subconscious, you know, lesson for me and like fear of like finishing things and really, you know, like, of course, knowing when like you're just sampling something and like it's time to move on. But like,
right,
there's definitely like the last year been a lesson in me and actually paring back my like multi. Yeah. Like, ideas are just like coming out of me, like oozing out of me all the time, you know? And it's like, I feel like there just has been something, and I'm curious your take on this specifically for Man Gens, you know, in that balance between focus and then honoring your urge to be curious about a lot of things.
Yeah. It's a great question. And I'm definitely guilty, so to speak, of this, but the way that I have, there's like kind of a couple of ways that I have like really found a way to quote unquote work around this, mm-hmm. because there is kind of a part of us that really isn't meant to finish things, like really, mm-hmm. because we are manifestors in a way, like we have that manifesting capability. And so there's these kind of two sides of us, this generator side that's like, I'm ready to be done, I'm ready to complete the thing. And then there's this manifestor that's like, well, I'm ready to start the next thing, you know? So there's a bit of that war between us. And so there's a couple of ways, like I was saying, that I found a way to do this. The first one is just kind of let everything that I do be like an ongoing project. So a good example, this is my course that is open for enrollment right now, Readings on Repeat, which is a course that teaches aspiring readers how to set up a successful reading business with a lot of systems, because as a Capricorn, I love to have systems, I love to have organization, and people really a lot of people don't really know how to do that, or how to do that specifically for a reading business. And so I found that was a great place for me to share my readings obsession or my systems obsessions. Uh-huh. And what I find is that when I can just see that as an ongoing project and I let myself flow in and out of that work, it works really well for me. So what does that mean? The first time I launched it, it had 9 modules and it was going to have 3 calls. And so then everyone did the 9 modules and then we had 3 calls. And then the next time I launched it, I added like 4 bonus trainings. And then I did a bundle with another human design person called Katie, who's her name is Katie. Her handle's sort of spiritual. She runs a program called HD School. And so she was teaching people human design and I'm teaching people how to do the business side of things. And so we did the bundle together. And so we had calls and a training together. And then now I'm launching it again and I'm adding 5 new modules, but I'm going to teach them live so that people can like ask me questions at the end. But in between all those launches, there was like 2 months where I was like doing other things, you know what I mean? And so I get to just kind of, it's not done. Readings on Repeat is never going to be quote unquote done. But at a certain point I don't have to add these extra things. It was already fantastic, you know, when people already purchased it, but then I can kind of go back and be like, well, I want to add this new thing, you know? So that's the thing that's been really helpful for me, is just to see everything as kind of like an ongoing thing. And I can, but even if I had decided to let go of it, it would still be complete, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like I could move on to something else. I didn't have to add these new modules on scaling. I didn't have to add these new modules on Instagram marketing that I'm about to add. I just think that they'd be really helpful. And I wanted to teach them and I was like, this is a great place to teach them is this course. So let me relaunch it again. The other thing that I have done is expand my team. So having people to help me, which, you know, I still struggle with, like, I'm just going to do it myself. Like I still struggle with that. But having team members to help me do stuff, has been really, really helpful. So a great example of that right now is the compendium. So the compendium is a massive blend of a Wikipedia database and a journal in one software. It's like the only kind of software of its kind. And it blends, it's the Wikipedia aspect. It's the only place you can find human design and gene keys information in one place. There's nothing else that is like that. Database, there's no database about human design. There's nobody putting human design information in a spreadsheet except for me. Like nobody is doing this. And then there's the journal aspect, which is that area where you can just add information as you go, as you contemplate, as you learn. And I did all the tech stuff. I did all the tech, all the design. I set up the Wikipedia. I linked everything together. I set up the database. I added every tag. I made a million spreadsheets and filters and whatever, but I couldn't get myself to write it. I was like, this is not coming out. Like I don't want to write about human design. Like I love talking about it. I love teaching it, but writing it is not exciting to me. Mm-hmm. And I found somebody who's a fantastic writer and I hired him and now he's working for me and it's great. And he's like working through things really quickly and the pages are getting written. You know, there's some tech stuff that I get to deal with. I'm still on my end, but you know, someone else is helping me to complete this thing, because if it was up to me, it would never be done. Like I would never do it. I have literally never been able to get myself to write a page about human design. Gene keys. I heard all day about gene keys. 90% of this program is human design. And I was like, help me. And so Pat's working on it and he's doing a great job. So hiring team members has also been something else that I've done. But yeah, there's some days where you're just like, I just have to finish it. Like there's no way around this. Like I need to finish this thing. And other days it's like, well, this can just be an ongoing project or I can hire this out.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love that. Yeah, I can totally resonate with the I am so grateful, like the past 2 years have had a team member, you know, by my side and like helping me finish things. Because let me tell you, yeah, like my, you know, our type, it's just like there are just some things that will not, because of the speed of movement, will not get completed. Yeah. Like
totally. And none of my team members are manifesting generators. Like the guy who was helping me write the compendium is a generator. And so the way that we use his type is he's here to respond to stuff. And so I give him a million tasks. They're all loaded in there. And I'm like, you just get to respond to whatever you want to write today. Just scroll through. There's hundreds of pages to write. Like you just pick the one that you want, like the one that is most exciting to you. And then he goes and does that. My social media manager is a self-projected projector. And so she's a guide. And so she helps to guide the strategy of the social media. And she helps me to finish things. I'm like, we need to do a reel today. Like, can you please make the caption, please? Like, I really don't want to write right now or whatever. Clearly there's a thing with me about writing. I write social media a lot easier than you know, textbook pages about the compendium or about human design. Right. But yeah, I don't have a single, and then I have another person on my team who's also a generator. And it's like, no, nobody else is a Manny Gen. We're all these different types kind of supporting each other, which is how it's meant to be. We're all meant to support each other in a communal aspect. Like human design is really about the collective and how we all support each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I love this stuff. I love human design. It's so fascinating. And what do you think about, so each type, just so people are aware, also have this thing called an authority. And I feel like, and I've experienced this, and I know people in my community have experienced this, which is like getting really stuck on like trying to act perfectly from their authority. Mm-hmm. You know, like say generators are to respond or projectors are wait to be invited, you know, like, and just like getting really kind of frustrated also, you know, like with that, like, what does this even mean? You know, cause it's kind of hard to grasp until you do it. But even if you do it, it's like, there's so, you know, you may used to be operating in a certain way. But yeah, I wonder if you have any advice for people like that.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to make a distinction. That is actually called strategy.
Strategy.
Authority is a different thing. Authority is how we make decisions, which is like emotional or sacral or splenic or whatever. But yes, good question. I just want to make sure if you're listening, it's each type has a strategy, like you were saying. So what's interesting about that is, yes, each type has a strategy, but there's more nuance, of course. It's not that simple. Fuck. Yeah. If only it was that simple. Damn it. This is where, if you've been contemplating human design for a while and like looking into it, you might want to start like looking at this. But essentially, yes, you have an overall type that has a strategy, right? So we are both Manny Gens. And so we are both here to wait to respond. And then after responding, we inform, and that initiates what we do. So we have the blended generator manifestor strategy. However, where does that come from? Why is that a thing? It's because of the way that our human design centers and gates are connected, right? So why are we here to respond? Because we have a sacral defined, and every single gate and every single channel that connects to the sacral works by responding. That's why we're here to respond, because we have something in our sacral. And then we also have something connected to our throat, a motor connected to our throat. And so any motor that connects to the throat acts by informing and initiating. But we don't just have that. We have gates that are in our splenic center that are projected, you know what I mean? That aren't connected to any sort of motor or whatever. We have openness in our chart, which is all reflected. So it all works in the reflector strategy. And so, for example, for me, I'm a manifesting generator. Yes, I'm here to respond, inform, and initiate. But my conscious sun is part of a projected channel. It's 854. It's from the root center to the splenic center. That is not a motor to a throat. That is not the sacral center. So it's a projected channel because it's defined and it goes from root to splenic center. And so what am I here to do? I'm here to wait for the invitation when it comes to sharing 70% of my energy, which is my sun, right? Everybody's sun is 70% of your energy. And so my conscious sun, my biggest gift, my life's work, which is what the Gene Keys calls it, your conscious sun is your life's work, actually requires an invitation. And so that's where there's a bit of nuance. And so that's like the human design, like you know, kind of like the nuanced explanation as to why maybe like trying to be perfect with your strategy doesn't work 100% all the time, because there's certain aspects of your chart that you would want to then do in a different way. And by the way, the question to ask is, if you want to understand what kind of, like, if you're looking at a channel and you're like, what type is this channel? You would just say, if I only had this channel, what type would I be? That's how you know what type of a channel it is. So if you only had the 3420 channel, you'd be a manifesting generator. So if that's the only manifesting generated channel, because it's sacral to throat. If you only had 6124, you'd be a projector, because there's no motor to a throat. So that's why it's a projected channel. So that's how you know what type of a channel it is. The other side of it is just, it's just deconditioning. You know what I mean? It's just, it's like two things. It's like you either get to decondition from, you know, if you're a generator and you've always tried to initiate and like everyone's like, you got to be a go-getter. And you're like, ah, I'm trying, you know, like that's just deconditioning. You just get to decondition. It takes time to like practice the skill of using your strategy. And the other thing is like just continuing to learn about it, continuing to experiment with it. Like, are you using it? Maybe when you use it in this way, it worked out really well. But if you tried to be really logical and cerebral about it this other time, it didn't work well. So just, you just have to play with it for a long time, which is why it just, these are just things that take a long time. Like people who, you know, this is source material. Ra, the founder of Human Design, said it takes 7 years to fully decondition, because the body functions on 7 year cycles. It's Saturn, you know, conjunct, square, opposite, and then square. It's those 7 year cycles. And so, you know, Ra was like, it takes 7 years to decondition. I don't think that that's necessarily a positive thing to think about. Like, oh, it's going to take 7 years for me to be myself. But there's some truth in that, in the sense of like, it takes a while for you to practice this stuff. You need to master the skill, and just using your strategy once isn't enough to master your strategy. You need to learn a little bit more about it. So learn the nuance, decondition and practice that, and then just see if you can keep learning about it to see when you're, just watch yourself. When are you using it in a way that feels good? And when are you not using it in a way that feels good? And why is that different?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like there's a lot of signals to, in the body that happen, like in the feeling of like the embodiment that happened,
yeah.
That, you know, as a whole, I think in the Western world, at least, like we're not super tuned into our bodies and what they're saying and the little energies that are existing in within us, within our vehicle.
Well, I agree.
And yeah, it's been a huge lesson for me anyway. It's like paying attention.
Yeah. I taught yoga for a long time. Again, another manifesting generator thing, another past life that I had. I trained in yoga for 10 years under the same guy who's a massive mentor of mine. And then I did, you know, 3 of his teacher trainings, and I worked for him full time for a while. So anyways, that was a whole part of my life. And I loved his style of yoga, because the way that he defined yoga was feeling your body.
Mm.
That's his definition of yoga. Feel your body. That's it. So I could be sitting in a car in a traffic jam, and if I'm just completely present to every sensation in my body, every pain in my back because I've been sitting for 6 hours, whatever, I'm actually practicing yoga, because I'm literally fully conscious of my body. So I'm really grateful to have found this guy and have had the privilege of studying under him for so long, because I got really practiced at feeling my body. Yeah. I forget all the time. It's really easy when you're staring at a screen to get myopic and, you know, tune out everything that's around you. And you know, this is why I can play Legend of Zelda for 6 hours and forget to, like, you know, eat whatever. Screens do that to you. But yeah, just feeling your body is like such an important, just the simple things of just feeling your body sensation and just not judging it. It's just it's a lost skill for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like this kind of brings us into this question I had wanted to ask you too, which is, like, as I want to hear, like, as a child and like growing up, like, were you, cause it seems like you have such a deep background in curiosity, spirituality, the arts, you know, cosmic things, but also scientific things. But what was that like growing up as a kid? Like, were you always interested in, what were your interests when you were growing up? What was it like?
Yeah. So I grew up in Venezuela. I lived there until I was 7. And I grew up very Catholic and very religious. I always say, to the point where like my older brother is like studying to be a priest. He's like a couple years into his priestly journey. There's a lot of people in my family who have gone and, you know, done vocational things within the Catholic Church. So with that, it's like, that was kind of the, that was the like imposed spirituality that I experienced was like, you know, God and like Jesus and forgiveness. And like, I just can't stand the way that like the Catholic Church teaches about Jesus. Like, to be honest, like, Jesus is such a cool guy, but you know, we're just not, I don't know. Just there's some, I wouldn't say all of it actually. There are definitely some people that I know in the Catholic Church who do teach about Jesus in a way that I enjoy, but a lot of times it's just not in a way that feels good. But anyways, long story short, I experienced that very top down. I went to Catholic school, you know, I did all that, went to church every Sunday. You know, and that like never made sense to me. I remember what it felt like to believe in that and believe in God and believe that I was going to go to hell if I gossiped. Like, I remember what that felt like, and it just never resonated. Not in a way that my 7-year-old version of me can explain why, but it just like didn't feel like that was true. And then there was this other whole side of me that was so obsessed with magic and fairies and mermaids and, you know, any animated TV show that was about magic, like was like, I need to become them. Like, I was like, how do I do this? And so for some reason that always felt spiritual for some, like there was something spiritual about that. I still literally watch Avatar: The Last Airbender like every year. And it is still the best like TV show of all time. And like in my mind, I'm trying to get a job with Avatar Studios. And I'm like, I will wipe your floors. Like, I will be the janitor. Just let me work for you. I'm obsessed with that, with their creations. And that's actually a pretty spiritual show as well. Mm. Yeah. So I don't know. There was always a side of me that was very deeply like connected to magic and all of that. And underneath all that was also this love of nature, you know? So I studied marine science. I studied it because I love the oceans and I felt very connected to nature and water and trees and the green. Like, I was just, you know, Capricorn, like earth. Like, I just felt very connected to the earth and animals. And I was vegetarian for like 12 years, you know, like very connected to like all of that. And so, yeah, I don't know. I always felt like there was more than the Catholic Church and the way that was taught. There were more forces at work. There was just something much bigger than that. And you know, Jesus wasn't the only, and the angels aren't the only like amazing things in the sky, you know, like there were just other things. And yeah, I mean, I shut that down for a long time. And then rediscovering it like 4 years ago, I was like, oh yeah, this is who I was always like meant to be. Like, I have rediscovered spirituality a couple of times in my life. And I've shut it down for like a couple of like, there's like 2 periods of my life where I've like really shut that down, which I can share more if you're curious about. But yeah, growing up, it was really like there was a secret, and then once I turned 14, an outward rebellion against religion and an inward kind of more affinity to spirituality and like nature and magic and, you know, spirit guides and, you know, a totally different world than just the Catholic Church.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would be curious if you're interested in sharing about the periods where you turned that off and why you think that happened and what you learned from it.
For sure. So I started the first time that I kind of, essentially what happened was from age seven to 14, I was like kind of secretly like, I don't think this is real. Like with the Catholic Church, I was like, oh, I don't think this is real. Like, I don't think that what you guys are saying is true. And I've just always been somebody that questions everything. And that's a very scientist, like that's a very scientist part of me. And science was my favorite subject. So, like, I always just wanted to learn about science and da da da. And I ended up getting a degree in science and whatever. And so at age 14, I really took that to like a whole other level. And I just outwardly rejected the Catholic Church. And on the flip side of that pendulum was atheism. It was like, nothing is like, there's no magic. There's no, you know, there's no God. There's not like, that doesn't exist. He never was there. Like, no. Like, I just needed to completely swing to the other side of the pendulum. This is a theory that I believe in a lot. I feel like we always have to kind of go from one extreme to the other before we find our middle. Mm-hmm. So I went from like Catholic, whatever upbringing to like, there's no God, fully atheist. And I remember that year I just started reading all these astronomy books and like Big Bang Theory, and I would read philosophers and like, what, how do they think about the world? And I was like, yeah, this is what's real. It's like Plato and Socrates and like Aristotle and, you know, astronomy and like, let's think, you know, whatever. All of that was like my interest. And so I kept that like shut down for a bit. So from 14 to about, yeah, I would, yeah, 19, 18, 19. And then my sophomore year of college, I started to kind of rediscover spirituality again. So I was living in Boston. I had been doing yoga for a bit. And this was the year before I did my first teacher training. And I started to go to like the Buddhist temples in Boston and like meditate there. And like, look, I didn't know what I was doing, but I would listen to the chants. And I was like really enthralled by that. And I started to play more with like chakras and reincarnation. I was like, this makes sense. I was also smoking a ton of weed, you know, so that never hurts to get into that. You know, I've since stopped, but for a good 2 years of college, I was smoking like every single day, which I think served me. And then until it didn't serve me. Mm-hmm. And I definitely feel, I have thoughts about it now, but anyways, so I was getting super into that, rewatched Avatar, The Last Airbender. And I was like, yeah, reincarnation. Yes. Chakras, all of that. All of this is real. And just started learning more about that essentially. And so that's when I started to kind of come out again of like the spiritual closet. And I started talking about spirituality and I started talking about, you know, chakras and energy and whatever. And then I took my first teacher training. Mm-hmm. And to my surprise, you know, I was expecting there to be some spirituality in it, but I didn't know my teacher that well yet. And he actually removes spirituality completely from yoga. Because for him, his mission with his style of yoga that he developed is to reach as many people as possible. And when you have a spiritual connotation to it, it's going to just naturally exclude people. And he was like, there's already enough people teaching a very spiritual type of yoga. Like, we need to reach the Joe Schmoes who are like working at an oil and gas company in Houston. Like, we need to, these guys need yoga too. And if you're going to be talking about chakras and speaking in Sanskrit, they're not going to get the benefits of yoga. And so we need to remove all of that. Mm. And so he created a different style of yoga that is very, it's anatomy based, it's functionality based. Like, remove spirituality, remove energy theory, any of that. Just if you bend your knee at this angle and you put a certain amount of load, it's going to pop your ACL out. Let's just not do that. You know, like, that was kind of very anatomy focused. And I was studying marine science at the time. So I was like, yeah, just kidding. Science again. So I just completely shut. I was like, yeah, fuck spirituality. You're right. It doesn't explain anything. Like, no, you know? And that was another 5 years of my life of like, just kind of, you know, yoga better is a style. So like, just yoga better and like functionality and what we can measure, what's measurable, all of that. And then end of 2018, I rediscovered like manifestation and like spirituality again. And I was like, there's gotta be something more. There's more to like just what we can measure and what we can explain. And yeah, I just came across a couple of different manifestation teachers from YouTubers that I already followed. There was like these like, you know, minimalism and like productivity YouTubers started to interview manifestation coaches. And I was like, the fuck, what is this? So I started to kind of get in that realm. And then that's what led me to Lacey Phillips and then what led me to Human Design. And it really wasn't until the middle of 2020, actually, which is not that long ago. It feels like a decade ago, but it was really just a year and a half and some change ago that I was like, oh no, I'm actually like deeply spiritual. And like, I deeply believe in like human design and like astrology and like all of this. And started to, 2020 was a really spiritual year. I started to connect with my guides for the first time. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, really play in that realm. And it was fucking amazing, actually. So yeah, that's when I came out of the spiritual closet again and have firmly been here ever since.
Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing that. That is so, it's very inspiring. I feel, because of the way, you know, like there is, it's like you're describing such a full journey. You know what I mean? Like, you stepping in and just going, you know, like, whether it's atheism, whether it's new age spirituality, Catholicism, like science, you know, non-spiritual yoga, like there's just such a, you know, just to hear it, it's like such a willingness to explore. And that is so, instead of like that wanting, and I know it probably showed up in different ways, but wanting to be right.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's something, I feel like a lot of us really want to be right. Whereas I don't know that anyone really is. It's just more about the exploration.
Yeah.
And you're like, your story really embodies that, like, full exploration. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that reflection. I would say that I definitely wanted to be right at some points in my life. At age 14, I was like arguing with my parents, like, God isn't real. They were like, what the fuck? How did we get this child? Sorry, mom and dad. My bad. But now it's definitely more of that exploration thing for sure. The last like couple of rounds. But yeah, it's funny to hear you say it. I'm like, wow, I have done a lot of things like yoga, Catholicism, atheism. Like, wow, it's so interesting. I didn't see all the points of that journey until you said it. So thank you.
So we are coming up at the end of our show, and I have a show and set of questions that I would love to ask. So one of the first questions that we'll dive into is, what is one of the most magical things that has ever happened to you that was like really pivotal, that made its mark, that was like something just happened? It might have been a synchronistic thing. And it just like it really shifted you.
I feel like I've mostly had smaller moments like that, but when I read this question and thinking about it now still, it's I would say it's this moment. It's a big moment of a lot of different things. Let me explain. So I in 2015, I did a program, a study abroad program called Sea Semester, Sea Education Association. We sail in a tall ship. You learn to sail. Like you learn, like we are at the helm, we are folding sails, hauling them, all of those things, checking the engine room while doing marine science research. And our trip, our trajectory was from Christchurch, New Zealand, actually Lyttelton, New Zealand, to Tahiti. And so we sailed like over 3,000 nautical miles, which is more than the US, through the Pacific Ocean. And I kind of chuckled later, realizing that so many of my astrological lines run through the middle of the Pacific and through the place, like everything, all my Capricorn, like MC stuff was like through New Zealand. There's so much stuff there. So it's just very interesting. So yeah, I mean, in terms of like why that was so magical, I mean, like it was the most connected I'd ever felt to nature. And like nature has always been like such an important connection for me, like spiritually. And I was so disconnected from the world. Like we don't have internet. Like you are 4 or 6 weeks at sea. We didn't see a single other boat. We literally just saw on the radar a Chinese fishing vessel, and we couldn't see them. They were 20 miles away, and the curvature of the earth only allows you to see about 4 nautical miles out. And so we didn't actually see them. We just saw the blip on the radar. We didn't see anybody for 6 weeks, just the same 30 people. That's it for 6 weeks. And you're just at the mercy of the elements. I mean, if your boat sinks, you die. You know what I mean? Like you have to keep the boat alive. And so there was like that kind of like very survival like element to it. Like just out of the gate in New Zealand, you were experiencing Arctic winds, you know, like Antarctic winds, actually Antarctic winds, because you were in the south. You are rain is going sideways. The boat is tilted at a 45-degree angle. You gotta keep it alive. Like people could get lost, you know, people can fall overboard. And then on the flip side, you're seeing like double rainbows every day. And like, you know, one of the most magical things was bioluminescence and seeing dolphins in bioluminescence. So, you know, a completely dark ocean and then a glowing green dolphin, just like the shape of a glowing green dolphin. Like you can't see the dolphin, you just see a glowing green shape of a dolphin moving around the water. You know, like it was insane, you know, and you're seeing whales and you're seeing albatross with like a 6-foot wingspan. Like it was just absolutely insane. And so, yeah, I mean, that was a super, it was a very like, I don't know, like there were a lot of things. I still go back to those memories a lot, of just camaraderie and like deep connection to nature and like just my awareness of your own mortality. You know what I mean? Like very aware of my own mortality. Like there was one night specifically where one of the girls who was having a really hard time didn't clip herself into the side of the boat to like, you know, go throw up because she was super seasick. And the rain was like coming sideways and it was dark. It was at like 2 in the morning and I was at the helm. And she wasn't clipping herself in, and nobody could hear me screaming for help to somebody clip her in. Like, and she was on the side of the boat that was like closer to the water. And if I let go of the helm, we would have like the winds would have just kind of taken us. You know what I mean? So I couldn't let go to like help her. And if she had fallen overboard, I was like, for 10 minutes, I was like, if she falls overboard, what do I do? Do I let go to try to throw her like a line or something, or like throw her a life preserver, or do I let go and run to sound the alarm? Like, which one do I do? Like, I wasn't like for 10 minutes, and the whole time I'm like screaming, like, Bruna, clip yourself in. Like, nobody can hear me, you know? And then finally, somebody who was doing the rounds came around and like was able to help her. And I was like, please take the wheel. I need to rest. Like, this was such a stressful experience for me because I was just so aware of like my mortality, everyone's mortality on the boat. Like, if I had let go, everyone dies. Like, you know, it was just a very kind of like scary moment, but magical in the same way. I know this is like, you know, kind of a funny story, but it's like that whole experience of like the really low lows of that kind of a moment to like just the most beautiful, like, you know, nature experiences ever. I don't know. I think it really shifted the way that I see the world a lot, and the way that I like relate to myself and my like love for nature and like all of it at the same time. So yeah, it was a series of moments, you know, over the course of the 6 weeks that really kind of let me, I was a different person when I started in New Zealand to when I ended in Tahiti.
Wow. Wow. That is so cool. I'm sure you could write a book on just those 6 weeks.
Yeah, it was crazy times. It was amazing.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah, I feel like we could talk a lot about that, but I'm gonna let people interpret that, but that's awesome. Like a big portal, you know?
It definitely was, yeah. It was crazy.
Okay, and next question. What is your favorite unseen force to work with?
I'm curious as to what your definition of that is, because I was thinking of that and I was like, well, is it spirit guides or is it human design? Because
Yeah.
I would say right now at this moment, it's gene keys. Like, that's my favorite. I do. And I feel it as a force, you know, I really do. You know, the gene keys are just so magical and feminine and, you know, so lovingly guiding and just activating, like, as the best way that I can, you know, one of my masterclass that I teach on the gene keys is called Activate. Cause it's just so activating when you're reading these words, you're reading about your gene keys and you're reading about these like energetic codes that you hold inside you. It just awakens so much like within you. And I mean, it's funny because that's what he meant to do, the founder. That's like, you feel like you get like a DNA upgrade every time that you like work with them. And that's what they are. Gene keys, DNA codes. And so, yeah, I think that they're my favorite at the moment, unseen force to work with.
Cool.
Awesome. And then a close second, my spirit guides all the time. They're all supporting me, being awesome.
Yes. Okay. What is your greatest investment in your business to date? Which could be anything, you know, big or small.
Like the best thing that I invested in, or like the most money that I ever spent?
No, I would say actually the most potent. So like, it could have been like that you like bought this one book and you read something and it changed your life, or you know, you took this one course and that's what happened, or you know, it could be a big investment. It could be hiring someone or working with someone, or
Good question. Yeah. I would then have to say that probably doing the human design and Gene Key certification was the most investment, because not only on like a monetary and business scale, it was like my first like really big investment in something in my business. Like, it was a $6,000 course. It was like a 6 month long container. You know, it was a big kind of like deal to be like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get certified in this, like by this person in this community, and the community would be crazy. I mean, like Manifestation Babe was part of that group, you know, that first round of that container. And so there's just like very cool people. Happened to be a part, Kinsey Madsen, one of the business coaches that I'm like obsessed with and like have received coaching from, was also part of that container. I mean, it just was a very activating first group. I love being the first in things. I've been the first of many groups, but that was one of my favorite things to be one of the first rounds of. And it was just, I mean, it's where I learned, you know, my foundations of human design and gene keys. It's what introduced me to the gene keys. It was, you know, during the time when the month that I started that certification was the month that I sold something in my business for the first time. Like, I had never launched anything before because I was still deciding what to sell. And then like September 2020, I like launched something. I started this certification, you know, and then throughout the course of that container, I moved to Germany. And then at the end of that container, I wasn't in Germany anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it was just it contained a lot of my spiritual up-leveling, my business up-leveling, and like relationship stuff. I mean, it was just a very, very potent container for a lot of different reasons. So yeah, SSCC by Eden Carpenter. That was my most potent.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So far.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
And the last question is a two-part question, a piece for our audience, a piece of practical advice and also a piece of spiritual or magical advice.
Yeah. So a piece of practical advice that I've been really present to, and I'm making a lot of content around recently, so it's just really on my mind, is actually something I learned from my yoga teacher, which is he, and now I, view everything as a skill. So everything is a skill. Hosting a podcast is a skill. Making a reel on Instagram is a skill. Writing an email is a skill. And so when you look at something as a skill, it takes all the meaning out of it. Like, it's not personal anymore. You just need to get better at it. Just like you wouldn't expect to be an expert at rock climbing if you've never climbed a rock wall before, you know? Like, why do you expect to be perfect at hosting a podcast or perfect at making a reel or perfect at writing an email when you've never done it before? Like, it just doesn't work that way. Like, you're not going to be fluent at Chinese on your first day. You need to master the skill. And so just viewing everything as a skill and not taking it personally, and just knowing that you feeling like you're not good at something is what it feels like to get better at a skill, is like the best advice I could give you. Like, whenever you're doing anything in your life and you're like, I want to like have better communication with my partner, that's a skill. I want to sell, you know, more of my business. Selling is a skill. It's all just a skill. And you need to get clear as to what are you spending time on? That's what you're getting better at. So if you're spending more time on holding your breath and looking at Instagram and drinking Coke, you're going to get really good at holding your breath and looking at Instagram and drinking Coke. It's a skill. You're practicing that skill. You're getting really good at that. But if you practice things like mindfulness or, calm business building instead of frantic business building, all those things are skills. So that's my piece of practical advice. And a new addition that I added to that is mastery is of a skill is just repetitions over time. Mm-hmm. And success is a mastery of a unique set of skills. It's my definition of success. It's just mastery of a unique set of skills for whatever that thing is that you're wanting to do. So if you're a master at selling and posting on Instagram, you're going to have a successful business on Instagram. Like, it's just, that's just it. You just have to master those skills. It's really that simple. So that's my piece of practical advice. My piece of spiritual advice, gosh, I have so many things, but it's also something that I've been thinking about recently. But you're your own best teacher. Like, you are your own biggest expander. You are your own guru. I hate that cliche phrase, but whatever. I think it's true. If we take out the cliche likeness of it. And there's so much magic in what you can learn from yourself and your past. And if you don't spend time learning from yourself and looking at yourself as a teacher and as an expander, you're missing out on a lot of what you could learn. So just know that you're a resource to yourself. You know that already. Now you know.
Beautiful. Thank you, Maria, for all of that wisdom and beauty and story. And let us know, a little bit about where people can find you, what you're working on now. I know you have a promo code for us.
Absolutely. Okay. So you can find everything I do is on Instagram at by Maria Henning. So BY and then my first and last name. Because it's a very Manny Jan handle, because everything that I do is going to be by Maria Henning. So if I do it somewhere else, it's going to be by me. So by Maria Henning is where you can find everything that I'm up to. And if you want to learn human design, I have a 10% off code for you guys for my Human Design and Gene Keys 101 class. I'll be linked below. The code is Unseen Magic, just all caps. And I have a couple other introductory classes as well that you guys can get. But then from there, I have a couple other different things that I do. You can get a reading from the reader on my team who can support you in understanding your human design or your astrology or gene keys or all three. If you are a human design reader and you want to grow your business, I have a whole entire course on that called Readings on Repeat, which is open right now. And then in the future, if you just want any sort of like coaching around human design, gene keys, and business with me, I'm opening a group container soon, a little incubator, and that'll be happening sometime in February or March of 2022. So that's what I'm up to at the moment. And I'm sure if you find this in the future, I'll be up to something a little bit different. So just check in on Instagram and see what I'm doing at that time.
Exactly. We don't stay the same for long.
And by the way, if you do find me, just send me and say hi, tell me you came from Jen's podcast and I'll know who you are and we can have a great conversation. I can direct you in any which way. My DMs are 100% always open. I love to chat with anybody that comes in.
Awesome. Thank you, Maria, for all your time. This was so fun. I feel like I could talk to you for a long time. Like, there were so many, and we were talking before we got on the show about different astrology stuff, and like, it's
all things.
Yeah, it's so fun. So thank you for taking the time. I know you're very busy and you're working on so many things. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you guys for listening. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you guys so much. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider doing a rate and review. I know everyone asks you to do this, but it really does make a difference so that more ears can hear this message and so that we can connect further and on a deeper level with more people. So if you go to wherever you're listening to this podcast, give a 5-star rating. If you're feeling really great about it, a review would be amazing. And I so deeply appreciate it. And thank you for being here.